If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Don't be afraid to buy a property, because if you're 20 or 30 years old, or even if you're 50 years old, as long as you're buying correctly and you're not necessarily like overpaying, you can always sell the property typically for around what you paid for it.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Ryan Groney is an active investor in mobile home parks with a focus on turnaround parks in the Midwest and Southeast. Ryan holds a bachelor's degree in business finance from Miami University, and he also serves as the director of operations at Buckeye Communities. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Man, it's such a pleasure to have you. I'm excited to learn today about the mobile home park space. If you can give us just an idea of where you started in real estate, where you are now, and how you got there.
Yeah, so I started in real estate with the little book that everybody, you know, probably comes on your podcast and probably has read or heard one form or the other, right? That's kind of everybody's starting point or some type of change in their mindset. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad in college. I was a finance major in college, thought I was, you know, we got trained for working on Wall Street and go on that route in business school and, you know, working for 30, 40 years and then retiring, right?
Sure.
Even though I was trained in investments, we weren't trained on how to build a business or we were trained to be an employee, basically.
Right.
So read that book, kind of got the wheels turning. And then out of college, you know, I started building my corporate career a little bit. Always had this idea of buying another business, buying real estate. How do I get out of this as quick as possible? So along those years, I looked at, you know, different forms of real estate. I looked at different multifamily. And then I kind of just stumbled on mobile home parks one day. I was actually looking to flip a mobile home because it's a little bit cheaper capital entry point, and then it's a quick cash, quick in and out. But just kind of stumbled on who owned these things. I went to an educational seminar. That was 5 years ago. Bought my first park almost 2.5 years ago at this point. I've never owned any other form of real estate, single family, multifamily, anything. I went from 0 to 75 units in my first purchase. Did it with partners. I don't recommend that. Smaller is easier sometimes. But I had other experienced partners that had real estate experience. And then from there, the last 2.5 years, I've owned 7 parks with partners spread across about 300 spaces, sold 2 of them. And then I also run operations for Buckeye Communities, and we've owned 8-9 parks, sold a couple, bought some more, stuff like that. So that's where I'm at today, full-time mobile home park owner, operator, investor. I'm an active investor and always looking to grow more.
That's awesome. So you also, aside from being an active investor, you run a property management business. Is that kind of what I'm hearing in the mobile home park space?
So I, 2 guys out of Ohio, when I lived in Ohio, I'm now based in Charleston, South Carolina. I knew them. We'd looked at buying a couple parks together, and then they had basically bought a couple parks and they needed some help running operations. So
sure.
I still to this day still help run operations. It's not a property management company. You know, I'm not, you know, employee by any means. It's mainly I just help them run operations. That's just my, I guess, title if I put it on my LinkedIn or Facebook profile, right?
So right.
That's also how I got a lot of experience, right? Learning how to run different parks when maybe I didn't own that many parks at that time. So that's what helped me learn operations and what works and what doesn't as well.
What a fantastic way to get real life experience, you know, potentially at somebody else's, on somebody else's dime, if you will, or on their learning curve. So that's awesome. Tell us about that first acquisition. I'm super curious. I know you said you read some books and then went out and bought a park, which is pretty brave. Can you kind of give us the breakdown on, you know, how you selected that park, how you found the partners that, you know, went in with you on it? Can you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, that was the 10,000 foot view. Obviously, that's not how life happens, right? You
sure.
Don't just read 3 books and go buy, you know, $1 million property. I mean, it does sometimes. But how I got there basically was I went to a seminar, the MHU bootcamp in Austin, Texas. It's like a 3-day event back in like 2014. Did that, looked at buying parks, basically took me 3 years to buy a park. So I got educated. I met with a bunch of owners. I had a couple under contract. I would take people out to lunch. I would call people, just literally like meet with people and try to get every ounce of learning parks and operations that I could. Because a lot of people don't even know what a lease is or what a good lease looks like. I tried to learn everything as much as I could. And then speeding that up, how I identified this property was basically somebody that I knew was looking to wholesale the deal. It's in Fayetteville, North Carolina. It had problems with the well water. Typically, we look to buy city water, but it had well water problems. And then there was me and a couple other guys that were looking at it. And we were like, hey, we all don't have the capital to take it down, but we can all contribute capital. We have some real estate experience, or we have some other type of real estate experience. And then we decided, you know, we did our due diligence. We, you know, did our risk assessment as far as like, what's the problems with the well? How do we connect city water? You know, talked with different attorneys and stuff like that. Like, what's our risk from a legal standpoint? So we kind of assessed the risk. We got seller financing on the deal, and we made that purchase December of 2018. We paid $700,000, and now the park's worth probably well over $1.8 million.
So, wow, that's great appreciation in a short amount of time. So it sounds like you did a lot of things to do value add there.
Yeah, correct, correct. We filled vacant lots, we've rehabbed homes, raised the lot rent, we connected to city water, we just recently paved the roads as well. So, you know, as far as like how I identified my partners, we kind of tied this property up. We had known each other kind of from a past life, just kind of like just chatting on real estate forums, chatting on the phone, stuff like that. So it wasn't just like a blind, you know, meet. It was like all of us kind of had some capital. One gentleman knew three more people like really well, and I trusted him. So we kind of put all this capital together, and it's worked. There's five of us that own this park. I don't recommend that for everybody, because the more hands in the cookie jar, the better. But we all stay in our own lanes. I run the day-to-day operations with, we have an on-site manager. And then, you know, other people do accounting, other people do the leasing, other people do the marketing. And then it's just, it's worked, because those other people, they have full-time jobs, and they're higher W-2s, and they also own some real estate. So,
right. How long did you work in, I'm going to call it corporate America, because I don't know exactly what your history was there, but how long did you do that before you went full-time into real estate?
So I worked in corporate insurance finance for out of college for 5 years. So lived in Cincinnati, worked full-time, and then I moved to Cleveland, worked there. And then kind of just, you know, those gentlemen that I know at Buckeye Communities, they offered me kind of like a position. It's not really, so that's kind of what made me jump. It's not a full-time job.
Sure.
It's actually not even a job. I scale my own business and then help them run their business as well.
So. Right. Oh, that's great. That's great. And so then fast forward from that first acquisition till now, and you said you guys have acquired several more properties along the way, sold a couple of those off. Mm-hmm. Kind of walk us through, you know, how you're looking to scale, walk us through what you look for, you know, what tools you use along the way, how you fund those deals, things like that.
Yeah. So we, when I say we, I, my partners, it's just me really on most deals. And we do, I do active joint ventures. So, okay. So maybe like you and I have some capital, or you have some capital and I might be a little bit capital strapped, but I have the deal and I know how to run the park.
Right.
We do an active joint venture on the deal. Up until this time, it's all been, all seven deals that I've been a part of have been that. I'm the operational piece to each park typically. And then as far as looking to scale, my biggest hurdle at the moment is capital constraints, right? Personally, and then both with partners.
Sure.
So it's either, do I start syndicating? Do I find a private investor with larger pockets, or do I start a fund or something of that nature, right? Because I'm looking to push my portfolio over 1,000 units within the next 3 to 5 years. And then because the window with mobile home parks and good investments are closing, because there's a lot of heat coming into the space. You got bigger pockets on their third fund now. I mean, when they're doing it, right, I mean, it's kind of like everybody's probably doing it, or at least considered it. So that's where I'm at, and that's how we're looking to scale. As far as tools, really just networking with people. I have really good relationships with wholesalers, and then they bring me their deals before they, you know, hit the open market and stuff like that.
Right. And so wholesalers in the mobile home park space is, I mean, I know there's wholesalers in every, you know, real estate sector, but I can't think of any that I've met yet that say, hey, I focus exclusively on mobile home parks. How did you find those guys?
So the mobile home park space is a very tight knit community. There's a lot of guys like you probably didn't even know, like you know who Sam Zell is, right? I'm sure. Maybe not. He used to be the largest apartment owner, office owner, and he's the largest mobile home park owner. His company is Equity Lifestyles. He's based in Chicago, huge investor, never sold one mobile home park. So I've never met that guy, but like I've met like, you know, the top five biggest owners. It's a very accessible business.
Right.
To be a top 100 mobile home park owner, you only have to own like 500 to 600 units,
Which
is not a lot.
Sure.
Right. So the business is very small. So how I've connected with them is just how you connect with anybody nowadays, right? A lot of online stuff.
Right.
You see people posting and you see what they do, and then you just message them and email them and say, hey, you want to connect? Start connecting. We bought an assignment or two from some people. And then I'm also out there on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and all that good stuff. And people also contact me. Hey, I got a park, or, you know, all the different forums they post on it. So it's a rarity, but just like anything, there's always somebody that's looking to wholesale or make some money.
There is. Yeah, for sure. And I guess I got two questions. So you can take this either way you want. First question was learning operations. Was that a steep learning curve for you? And then let's start there before I, you know, go in two different directions at once.
Yeah. So versus yes and no. One, it was because I had never done it. I had never owned any other real estate. I had never run a business. I'd just been a part of like Fortune 500 companies, right?
Right.
So I understood how businesses work, different processes and systems. But then again, it wasn't that hard because I was a little bit probably more educated and ready than most. And I also, like I said, I spent 3 years looking for parks and talking with owners, having some under contracts and reading everything. And I basically became obsessed with it. That's how I went from 0 to 300 and went from full-time and under, you know, I just turned 30 this year. Doesn't mean I'm living a lavish lifestyle or anything like that. It means that my financial free number is relatively smaller because I'm younger, I have no kids, and I'm not married.
Right.
So I'm able to be financially free, I guess, if you want to call it that, but with the same time looking to grow more and extend that. So to answer your question, simply, yes, it's tough, but once you start doing something long enough, you get the hold of it. So,
right.
I mean, I'm always looking to improve systems, operations, and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Were there any pitfalls or mistakes, bad advice, things you heard along the way?
Yeah. I mean, you know, what somebody advises as far as what they do in operations or what they do when they look at a deal does not always it doesn't always mean that's what's right for you, right?
Right.
So somebody that owns 100 properties, they may not look at a 20 unit property, but that might be a life changer for you if you can financially do it yourself, right? Because then you're going to get that cash flow. You can force appreciation through NOI growth and stuff like that. So you have to assess what's right for you at your time and what's right for your family and what makes sense for your lifestyle, because not everybody wants to buy 100 parks. Not everybody wants, some people just want to buy one or two and they're perfectly okay with that. So you just have to identify what's right for you. And that was probably my biggest mistake starting out. I was listening to others and not necessarily being confident enough in myself and moving forward with some potential acquisitions.
Right. No, that's brilliant. Cause I mean, everybody's buy box is a slightly different size, I would think. And like you said, a 20 unit might be exactly what you're looking for. So when you see all this money, I'm curious, you know, in your industry in particular, because I've never invested or bought a mobile home park, with these large funds and people out there buying in this space, is there a certain size park that, you know, is still available to the average everyday investor? Or, I mean, because these funds, obviously, they don't typically want a 20 unit park, I wouldn't think. Just the managerial and overhead just wouldn't cover. I mean, is that right? Am I barking up the right tree? Yeah.
Typically funds, Wall Street, larger investors, syndicators look for 80, 90 units, probably 100 units and above. So there's plenty of inventory left. There's plenty of opportunity left for the average Joe investor, right? And maybe the average Joe investor has, you know, 100 to 200K to invest in a retirement account or something, right? Maybe more depending on how old they are. And there's plenty of time left. There's plenty of opportunity. There's about 50 to 60,000 mobile home parks. Probably of that, 10 to 20% are owned by Wall Street. Of that, there's not a lot of, but if you're looking for parks 100 units and above, not a lot of that left. There is, but yes, there's plenty of opportunity. There's plenty of runway left and there always will be opportunity. The opportunity may just be different than what it was 20 years ago, right? It's like saying I should have bought Microsoft or Apple 20 years ago when it was a dollar, right? It just, the prices has changed, but that doesn't mean that the appreciation or the growth isn't going to happen still. It's just a different opportunity and you just have to, cap rates might be 8%, but debt's at 3%. So it's really the same as a cap rate that's 12% when debt was 7%.
Right.
It's the same spread. You just, in people's heads, they hear these golden eras of 10%, 12% cap rates. And they're like, well, you don't realize debt was between 6% and 8% at the same time. So the important thing with that is 3% spread is what we look for.
Sure.
From the cap rate to the debt.
Gotcha. Man, that's awesome. Let's jump into the final four questions. If you were to give everything you know, distill it down to one piece of advice, and you're giving this to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
Find a mentor, get as educated and obsessed with the space as you can, and then just at the end of the day, take action, right? And don't be afraid to buy a property, because if you're 20 or 30 years old, or even if you're 50 years old, as long as you're buying correctly and you're not necessarily like overpaying, you can always sell the property typically for around what you paid for it.
Gotcha. That's great. When it comes to investing in yourself, what's one thing you do to stay on top of your game?
I like to read a lot typically. I also like to talk with people that are ahead of me. Those are two things that I do all the time. And I when I talk with people ahead of me, might be at real estate events. COVID's kind of limited a lot of the meetups and masterminds and all that stuff. It's all been virtual. I'm an in-person guy. I like in-person meetups. Right. The virtual thing is great, but I find myself kind of being a little bit lax when it comes to that. I'll talk on the phone all day, but like doing Zoom masterminds, I get bored and because I have my computer, right? So I can start Googling and all that stuff. So, but yeah, that's what I do. I like to read Audible because I drive a lot. That's kind of what I like to do a lot.
So. Gotcha. Giving back. What's one way you're making the world a better place?
Continuing to buy affordable housing and keeping it as affordable housing. No, that's obviously a little joke. So one way I like to give back is helping others achieve their goals. Mm. I do it for free. I don't really, it's nothing. I don't have a coaching program or anything like that. I just like to talk with other people that are looking to get into business and how can they achieve buying their first park or maybe wholesaling it, right? Or doing something. Right. And then I also like to, you know, help out with a nonprofit animal rescue. And I do that from time to time as well.
That's awesome. Ryan, what's the best way for listeners to get in touch with you?
You can find me on every social media platform, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. That's probably the easiest. Or you can email me at ryan.groene55@gmail.com. And then my cell phone number, you feel free to text me or call me. Most people won't. 513-276-3834.
And that's right. You're absolutely right. Most of us don't have the courage. I've heard a lot of podcasts and people leave a phone number. I'm like, man, I just don't have the courage to pick up the phone and say, hey, heard you on a podcast. So good for you. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on today. Certainly appreciate it. Loved learning more about the mobile home park space and how you've grown your business. So look forward to doing this again sometime soon.
Appreciate it, Sam. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.